Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our La Crosse studios. We're pleased today to continue our election coverage, turning our attention to the 32nd State Senate District, which serves the La Crosse area, the surrounding area as well. And I'm joined today by both candidates. Dan Kopanky is a business owner in La Crosse. He lives on French Island. He is a former state senator in the 32nd District, having served in that seat for 6 years. Brad Paff is joining us as well, a former official with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the former secretary designee of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And if this seems like a bit of deja vu from about 15 years ago, back in 2004, these two men ran against each other for this very seat. And I'm pleased to welcome them both to Newsmakers. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I want to start by giving each of you an opportunity to introduce yourselves. So, Mr. Kopanky, let's start with you. Give our voters a sense of who you are, professionally, personally, whatever you think they would need to know to understand who you are as a person.
Thank you. Well, I've lived in this district almost my entire life. I took a little time off for military. Otherwise, I've lived here, raised a family. Worked in the private sector for 22 years as a district sales rep for a seed company, working with farmers in agriculture. I've owned my own business starting in 2002, and that is the La Crosse Loggers baseball team together with my wife, Ruth. We have another business. We have a Dippin' Dots ice cream franchise, so we run in two businesses. Again, lived, raised my family. I have 4 kids, 13 grandkids. I'm passionate about this part of the world and where we live. As you suggested, I served this in the state senate, this area, in 2004 to 2011. But I'm passionate about where we live, the people in this district, and my intent here is to go to Madison and represent these people in the manner in which they should be represented.
Thank you very much. Now, Mr. Paff, on to you. Same question to you. Give voters a sense of who you are personally and professionally and what you think they should know about you.
Well, thank you, Ezra, for the opportunity to join you. My name is Brad Paff, and I'm a candidate for the Wisconsin State Senate. I'm running for the Wisconsin State Senate because I believe we can do better. Our state capital politics right now is too partisan and it's too divided. And that's not who we are. I know that we can come together when times are tough. And we need to be able to come together in order to solve the problems that are facing our region and our state. I have the background and skills to do that. My family's been farming in northern La Crosse County since they came to this country in the 1800s. On the farm, I learned the value of hard work, dedication, and when times are tough, you come together. And you work together with your friends and your neighbors in order to get things done. I married the love of my life when I met her at a high school 4-H leadership banquet in La Crosse at the YMCA. We have raised our two children, our son Andrew and our daughter Elizabeth, in Onalaska. We taught them the same values that I was taught, working hard, standing up for yourself, but also making sure that you reach out a hand to your friends and your neighbors when times are tough. We can do better right now than what's happening in our state capital. Politics are too extreme. I'm running for the state senate because I know we can do better. I know that I can provide the steady leadership that people are looking for in this very uncertain time. I've got the background and the experience. I've had senior level positions at the U.S. Department of Agriculture Farm Service Agency, and I led a cabinet position when Governor Tony Evers asked me to serve as his secretary designee of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I've traveled this district repeatedly. I met with family farmers, small business owners, parents, teachers. I understand what's happening out there. I strongly believe that it's time that we come together. And that's what this campaign is about.
So let me turn our attention to the economy for our first question today, and let me pose it to you, Mr. Paff, first, and then we'll give Mr. Kopanky a chance to respond to what you say and also answer the same question himself. Unemployment. hit almost 14% when COVID-19 hit, and the state was during the shutdown, the safer at home orders. It's still double unemployment is from where it was in January. How can we protect jobs and income and livelihoods in Wisconsin, but still respond responsibly in terms of public health?
We all want to get back to normal. We want to get back to our Friday fish fries, hanging out with our friends and family on Saturday afternoons, and going to in-person church service on Sunday mornings. But in order to do that, in order to keep ourselves healthy and to make sure that our economy continues to grow and move forward, we have to take this COVID virus serious. That means we have to do three simple things all of us can do. Wash our hands, socially distance, and wear a mask. Unfortunately, this has all become politicized. Why is the fact that we want to be able to keep ourselves healthy and to move our economy forward become so politicized? In fact, rather than having the legislature meet, in which every other legislature around the country is meeting, our legislature has not met since April on this topic. And this topic, this has not miraculously disappeared. Unfortunately, we've had too many people have gotten sick, and here in La Crosse County, we've had too many people that have lost their life. And we can do better, all of us can do better, but we need to take this serious. You know, our parents and our grandparents, during World War I and during World War II, in order to stop the enemy, they purchased war bonds. They came together, they purchased war bonds because they knew that the enemy... they wanted to stop the enemy. The enemy here is this virus. But instead of us coming together, instead of our leaders bringing us together, they're dividing us. They're saying, they're playing politics with this issue. I spoke to a small business owner just recently down in Viroqua. You know what that small business owner told me? He and his people that work in his business have to play the referee with their own customers because the state has nothing, no policies on this. The Supreme Court just said nope, throughout the orders. So now the small business owner has to walk up to the customer and say, hey, please don't do this, or please consider what you're doing. Why are we putting our small business owners in this position? Why are we putting our workers in this position? The answer is because our legislative leaders are playing politics on this subject. And as a result of that, we can't get our lives back to normal, and our economy is not growing the way we want it to.
Mr. Kopanky, let me rephrase the question back to you. Same question, which is a double unemployment still from January. A lot of people hurting. We need to get those jobs, incomes, livelihoods back to where they were and still protect ourselves in terms of public health. How do you get the economy rolling after a shutdown like we've had in Wisconsin?
Well, just recently, I believe last weekend, the World Health Organization came out and stated that lockdowns are not recommended. And so we did a lockdown early in the COVID, way back in March. I understood that we had to do that because there were so many uncertainties with this virus. But we can't do that again. And the World Health Organization has come out saying it's not recommended. So to get our economy going, we have to instill confidence in the people. We have to remove and lower the fear factor as much as we can. And we have to do the things that are recommended. But for a governor to say that we have to have 25% max in certain businesses, while others are allowed to have as many as they want, is picking winners and losers. And we just can't have that. We can't have winners and losers if we're going to get this economy going. We have to have everybody participating at the same level. And we're able to do that. If masks work, then we should be able to open up our economy. I know they're not 100%, but if they work, we should be able to open up our economy. And if the director of the La Crosse County Health Department, with all of the safety factors that she has put in place for herself, her family, and for the county, and she comes down with it, well, then it's very, very difficult for to have immunity for everybody from this virus. So, again, we have to work through it. We have to employ all the safety factors that are out there for us. But to get our economy moving, we have to have businesses open. We have to have businesses available to be open and not have edicts come down from Washington or from Madison, from our governor, stating that you can be open at full capacity, but you cannot. I just think that's wrong, and that's dividing our country, and it's hurting our economy locally as it is throughout the state.
Next question goes to you first, Mr. Kopanky, and I want to stay on the issue of the economy. The pandemic, particularly the shutdown early on in Wisconsin's response to the pandemic, revealed really what it is to be an essential worker, and really revealed that every worker is essential, from the corporate CEO all the way down, especially to fast food workers, food service workers, hospital staff, and so on. And yet these people are the ones who struggle in our economy sometimes the most. Would you support the minimum wage so that people who work in these essential positions would be able to work full-time and be able to afford the rent of an apartment and to feed a family and to earn a living wage while they're working?
We want everybody to have a wage that is above the minimum wage. I think today, if you go to any business and they state that our starting wage is minimum, they're not going to get any employees signing up to work for them. The market market itself has driven wages to where you can start now at some of these positions that were minimum wage at $12, $14, $15, $16 an hour. So rather than artificially put a wage out there that everybody is supposed to adhere to, the market has driven it much, much higher than any legislation coming out of Washington or Madison as far as raising the minimum wage is concerned. People need good workers. I find that wherever I go, talking to employers, time and time again, they will tell me that it's difficult to find qualified people to work. And so what's that doing? That's raising the wages for them. I know that in the trades, they're getting 20, 25, 30, 35 bucks an hour as a laborer in the trades right now because they can't find anybody. So I think it's kind of a moot point right now as far as raising the minimum wage. The wages are going up because of the market forces driving it, and I think that's where it should be.
Mr. Paff, the minimum wage question to you, would you leave it where it is and let the market drive wages up, as Mr. Kopanky asserts that in many cases it has, or would you support raising the minimum wage?
I support increasing the minimum wage. And I support a phased approach to increasing the minimum wage. I recognize the power of the marketplace, and I recognize what's happening in the marketplace. But I also recognize the fact that nearly every state around us has a higher minimum wage than what we have here in Wisconsin. And, you know, there's an awful lot of hardworking people right now that are essential, that are preparing our food, that are taking care of our loved ones, they deserve a raise, and I would support an increase, a phased approach to the minimum wage.
All right, we are talking to Brad Paff, whom you've just heard, and Dan Kopanky, who spoke a moment ago. Brad Paff is a Democrat, Dan Kopanky a Republican, and they are running against each other for the state Senate seat in the 32nd district in Wisconsin. I thank them very much for being here. We've got much more of our conversation ahead on Newsmakers. This is Newsmakers, and if you'd like to find out more about our program, you can listen to this debate again, or you can engage with many of our other programs at WPR.org/newsmakers. Our show continues in a moment. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. And and its newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwestern studios. Thank you very much for joining us today for our conversation regarding the 32nd State Senate District in Wisconsin. Republican Dan Kopanky, Democrat Brad Paff, both are running for that seat in the 32nd Senate District, and we've been talking about the economy. We're going to turn our attention to a couple of other issues right now. Mr. Kopanky got the last question first, and so we start with you, Mr. Paff, turning our attention to health care. For some, unemployment spike revealed the tenuous nature of employer-based health care insurance. What can be done to ensure that every Wisconsinite has access to affordable health insurance coverage?
Well, that's a very good question, Ezra, and without a doubt, what's happened over the last few months with COVID has really caused a lot of uncertainty to our workers and to our working families. We need to make sure that we have access and we have health care that's affordable. We need to make sure that we keep our rural hospitals and our rural clinics and keep our infrastructure in place. But what can we do to make sure that the family continues to have access to health care? Well, I mean, I strongly support expanding Badger Care. This is something bipartisan. Back in the 1990s, Governor Tommy Thompson worked with the Democrats in the state legislature, and they expanded Badger Care to make sure that our self-employed and our family farmers had opportunities to participate in this program. Unfortunately, over the last few years, over the last 10 years, the misplaced priorities that came out of the legislature and of the previous governor, they scaled back the opportunities for the self-employed and family farmers to participate and purchase Badger Care. That's wrong. That is wrong. And I want everyone to know that I will fight tooth and nail to make sure that our family farmers and our small business owners and self-employed get access to Badger Care. The other thing that has been done over the last few years that was wrong was there was an ideological battle that's taken place within our legislature and with the previous governor to say that they would not take federal Medicaid dollars, money that our taxpayers have already sent to Washington, D.C. We're not getting back. Even states like Oklahoma and Missouri have stepped forward and said, we want that federal Medicaid dollars. But yet, the legislative leadership in Wisconsin is playing ideological games with this issue. And as a result, hundreds of millions of dollars that would come back through federal Medicaid assistance, we're not getting. As a result of that, too many individuals are paying too much for health insurance or don't have health insurance. We also need to make sure that we stand up to these insurance companies. And we let those insurance companies know that if anybody that has a pre-existing condition, that these insurance companies cannot just go ahead and jack up the rates, make them pay more, or quite frankly, they cannot drop them from their insurance. We need to stand firm to these special interest groups and say no more. Healthcare is important to all of us. It's a personal issue. We need to make sure that we expand Badger Care for the eligibility for small business, self-employed, and our family farmers. We take the federal Medicaid dollars that we paid into so that will help us lower our cost. And we need to make sure that we stand up to these insurance companies and we say, no, you are not going to tell people with pre-existing conditions that they have to pay more or that they can't have insurance. That's wrong. That's not the Wisconsin way. That's not the values I was raised with. That's not what we're going to do or what we need to do.
Mr. Kopanky, same question, the healthcare question to you. What needs to be put in place to ensure that every Wisconsinite has access to affordable health insurance?
It's a great question. Historically, Wisconsin has been a leader. We are currently in the top 10 again and still amongst the other 50 states, as well as we compare the number, the percentage of people who do not have any health coverage. Again, for under Democratic leadership in Madison and Republican, we have been a leader amongst all of the states as far as having a percentage of people covered with some kind of insurance, whether it be employer private, medical, Medicaid, or Badger Care. And again, I think we rank number 7 now or number 8, somewhere in there, as far as the least number of people not having any insurance. And it's absolutely imperative that those 7 or 8%, whatever that number is, that they have some kind of insurance. And right now, if you're single making $24,000 in Wisconsin, you have some coverage, you have guaranteed coverage, or family of four, I believe it's like $34,000. So we have that, that they're guaranteed. Over that, they have to go and find their own. And we have to make sure that it's available to them and it is available at a cost. As far as pre-existing conditions, I have been a leader in this state when I was a senator. I authored a bill that would guarantee coverage to those with pre-existing conditions. In 2009, when I was running for U.S. Congress, I also stated that we have to have insurance available for everybody, especially those with pre-existing conditions. In 2016, I ran again for the state Senate, and it was another comment that I made, a concern that I had, and that was for those with pre-existing conditions. So despite what people might see on the airways or on TV, I have been a leader in this state in making sure that those with pre-existing conditions have coverage. So again, Wisconsin, with 6 or 7% or 8% without insurance, we don't throw out the whole system to cover the 90, the 100%, but let's keep in place what we have and address the 7 or 8% that do not have insurance. As far as Medicaid dollars coming from the federal government, certainly with COVID, the dynamics have changed. And I get to Madison. If I would get to Madison, I would be open to accepting those dollars to help the coverage that we need for the people that don't have it.
All right. Turning our attention to education now, another big important issue, since in the United States, some 91% of kids attend public schools. What is it, Mr. Kopanky, this one goes to you first, what is it that'll keep public schools strong for those 91% of families who depend on them?
Yes. Continue to do, again, in Wisconsin, what we've been doing. The education budget, K-12, has always been right near, if not on top, as far as spending in our budget each year and every year. And it must be that way. It's very important that we do that. We have great ACT scores that have been good for many, many, many years here in Wisconsin, which means and indicates that we're doing something right. So I know that in the last budget, increased dollars went to K-12. Sparsity payments increased for those school districts with less population and less students, which is very, very helpful. Obviously, transportation to and from school and that is more costly for districts that are more rural. So that was addressed in the last budget. Again, it's a priority in Wisconsin. K-12 education has always been. It needs to continue to be so.
And Mr. Paff, to you, the strengthening of public schools, keeping them strong here in Wisconsin, what's going to do that?
Well, thank you for the great question, Ezra. I'm a proud graduate of Melrose Mindoro High School, Go Mustangs, 1986. I'm also a proud graduate, received my bachelor's degree from the University of Wisconsin School. One of the greatest investments that we can do in the state of Wisconsin is to invest in our youth and invest in our public education. We need to make sure that we keep our rural school districts as well as our suburban and urban school districts strong and thriving. We need to make sure that we have some of the best educators in the classroom, and we do. We need to make sure that we continue to invest in education. To do that, we have to make sure that the school aid formula reflects the changes and the needs that are taking place here in western Wisconsin within our school districts. We need to make sure that we do everything we can to close the achievement gap. We need to make sure that we provide learning opportunities in this changing economy, in this situation we have with COVID. We've got to have broadband for our school districts. We need to recognize the fact that we want to keep our schools safe and welcoming. We want to make sure that we have we engage the community when it comes to our education. We also want to be able to make sure that we have paths of learning for our students. I want to be able, as a state legislator, I will work in a bipartisan manner. I will convene groups to bring together our university leadership, our technical college leadership, and our K through 12 leadership to provide opportunities and pathways for advancement for our students. I believe there's apprenticeship and internship opportunities that can be done. I believe what we've done in La Crosse with the Health Science Consortium is a model that can be replicated in other parts of the economy, working with our educators. I want to make sure that our children have the resources and tools they need and prepared when they enter that classroom. But while they're in that classroom, I want to make sure that the teachers and the educators have the tools that they need to make sure that they can continue to do their job effectively. Education is the key to our future. And again, I tip my hats to my educators at Melrose Mindoro High School. Thank you for the great job that they did.
My next question is about education as well and has to do with the achievement gap that you mentioned, Mr. Paff. We've got just a couple minutes left in this segment, so if each of you could answer in just a minute or two. Wisconsin Public Radio reported almost exactly a year ago that Wisconsin has the widest achievement gap between black and white students of any other state, in spite of our strong public school system. So what can be done to narrow the achievement gap between minority students and the majority white students? Mr. Paff, start with you.
Well, I think that it takes a community, and I think that we all are in this together, and we need to work together on this, and we need to recognize the fact that we're going to continue to grow and be strong as a state by doing this together. And so, I mean, yes, it's going to take financial resources. It's also going to take investment by the community. We're bringing community leaders together and how important that is. We need to make sure that we have Head Start dollars. Funding is available for important programs like Head Start. We need to make sure that we're working with those within the larger community. May it be leaders within our child care, as well as leaders within the different foundation groups, to make sure that all of us are in this together, because we need to close this achievement gap without a doubt. That is something that we cannot have as we go forward as a state.
Mr. Kopanky, to you, what about this achievement gap, the difference in achievement between black students and white students? How can we create more parity among public education students?
Very, very sad that this is happening. And I think that the best decisions made are those made at the breakfast table, dinner table, amongst families. And I think that parents can make the best decisions, and as a result of that, I think they should have more options, and we should continue to expand school choice, for one, so that parents can have options as to where they send their kids. If they're not getting what they need at a certain school, they have options to go to other schools, and I think that is one of the best solutions that we have for this issue.
That's Dan Kopanky, the Republican candidate for the 32nd State Senate District. We're also talking today with the Democratic candidate, Brad Paff, and I'll be pleased to continue our conversation in just a moment here on Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. From Wisconsin Public Radio, it's Newsmakers, and we're continuing our conversation today with the candidates for Wisconsin's 32nd State Senate seat. Democrat Brad Paff and Republican Dan Kopanky are joining us on the show today. Mr. Kopanky, the next question comes to you, and I want to turn our attention to agriculture. One thing, political differences aside, one thing that you guys do share in common is each of you come from farming families, and you both would know and won't be surprised that about $105 billion of Wisconsin's gross product is owed to agriculture. So I want to ask first to Mr. Kopanky, what's the biggest challenge facing Wisconsin farmers in this time, and how do we overcome it?
Well, I think they would like some some security as far as prices going forward. And it's very difficult to do in agriculture because they get paid what the market gives them. So I think as a state, we should continue and maybe expand a little bit our efforts to find new markets for products from agriculture. I think that's one of the things we can do. The other thing is work with our federal people, our federal legislators and government in continuing, again, to expand our markets. The USMCA is a great example that kicked in. And I know that there's milk products that are now going to Mexico as a result of that. China, another market, a great big market for us. China recently purchased over 700 million tons of soybeans from us. And I think there's another 300 plus million that are going their way. So, again, expanding markets, and what that's done is, for now, the milk price has been stabilized a little bit, and also the bean prices have gone up. Right in the harvest here, it's gone up like a buck and a half. So those are some of the things that we can do at the state level is, again, work to expand our markets. I know the Dairy Innovation Hub has been a factor in looking at creating new products for the dairy industry. That's been helpful. But the other thing is that, we have a right to farm here, and, there's encroachment upon farming from people coming out from the urban areas, and we have to make sure that the farmers, under the rules and regs that they have, and that is one of the most regulated industries in Wisconsin, that's agriculture, that they are able to move forward to grow their herds, grow their size, their farming operations, if they choose to do so. If I live in a city and I choose to go out into the country, I do that knowing that the farm's been there for 150, 200 years, and farming is an operation that is going to be a neighbor of mine, and we have to understand that. So there's room for both. We should have room to expand our operations, because if you don't expand, sometimes you die, and we want farmers to know that they can expand. And there's room for larger farms in Wisconsin. There's rooms for medium size, and there's room for smaller. And I've talked to farmers of every size farm here, from small, just getting started, to the larger ones. And again, they provide, as you suggested, $105 plus billion of economic impact to this great state, 435,000 plus jobs. So it's our number one industry. We are the dairy state. We're made up of agriculture. We're very diversified in that we have potatoes, we have cranberries, we have cherries, we have milk, we have cheese, we have beef and pork products. It's a great state. It's a great agricultural state, and we must make sure that we don't overregulate this business so that, in fact, our businesses, our farming businesses, are not expanding but contracting. So great state, great impact that agriculture has. We must nurture it and make sure that we're doing the things that we can do to make it a very, very viable industry here in this state.
Mr. Paff, to you, what's the biggest challenge in your view facing farmers today, and how do they overcome it?
Our family farmers are some of the best in the world. They grow food that comes from their dairy barns as well as from their farm fields that people from around the world eat and enjoy. But the thing is this, they're hurting. And quite frankly, there's an awful lot of talk that's taking place, and there's not a lot of action. And as the Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, I traveled this state. I stood in dairy barns. I stood in cheese plants. I was in diners. I was in people's homes, and I heard firsthand what people were saying. They, first of all, want to make sure that they're respected. A lot of people talk about what's best for the farm, but very few people are willing to step forward and provide that assistance. Thing is this, we do need to provide markets, find new markets for our agriculture products. And we have opportunities to do that. As the Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, I proposed and worked with the legislature to make sure that we were having new dairy modernization grants. We worked in order to find new product developments, worked with our University of Wisconsin researchers to do product development. I traveled and met with buyers from around the world that were seeking to purchase agriculture products from our state. They want People from around the world want our agriculture products. But sadly, our family farmers are struggling. So what can we do? Well, there's things we got to get back to the basics. Healthcare is very important. If we want to make sure we keep family farmers on the farm, they're self-employed people. Let's make sure Badger Care is available for them. What's happened over the last few years, the last 10 years, and the previous governor and the legislature, they made Badger Care very difficult for people to obtain. Let's expand broadband into our rural areas so our family farmers can use the technology that all of us talk about. Let's make sure that our roads and our bridges are paved and funded. Our previous governor and the legislature continued to cut road aid and bridge aid. And you don't have to drive very far in the rural areas or even in our urban areas to recognize the potholes and the problems that we have. Let's make sure our rural schools stay strong, because that's so important to our rural communities. And let's make sure that when our family farmers are struggling with emotional and financial stress, that our legislature doesn't play politics and stop funding programs like farmer mental health programs, which are so important. Let's just do the basics. Our family farmers know how to produce high-quality milk and quality grains, and the world consumers love the products that our farmers produce. But let's listen. Let's really listen to what the farmers are saying and what they're looking for. And I'm that kind of person where I've traveled and I've listened, and I will be a tremendous, tremendous advocate for our family farmers and our rural communities in the state legislature.
Our next question is about law enforcement, and I want to turn to you, Mr. Papp, first. Law enforcement is one of the only jobs where instantaneous judgment calls can result in the deaths of either the officer or a citizen who is even a bystander, but often whom the officer is in pursuit of in some kind of way. How can officers be vigilant in light of all of the attention that's been focused on that profession in recent months and years? How can they be vigilant against implicit bias without running the danger of second-guessing constantly and indecision that could turn to be very dangerous for them?
Well, that's a very good question. And without a doubt, our law enforcement, they do an excellent job, and they have a very, very difficult job. But we need to make sure, and this is where it's important, this is where it's very important that our next state senator and our legislature provides the funding and the training that is needed so our law enforcement has that training to make sure that everybody is treated equal under the law. And that is what is so extremely important. And I ensure everyone on this listening here that I will work in a bipartisan manner to make sure that we provide the funding needed for our law enforcement so they have the training and the tools that they need to make sure that all of us are treated equally underneath the law. Because if we don't do that, then it becomes very difficult. So I want to make sure that our law enforcement has all the tools that they need in order to do the job in a fair and equal manner.
So the law enforcement question to you: law enforcement has been under a microscope here lately, Mr. Kopanky, for obvious and sometimes important reasons. Nevertheless, our police officers have some of the most dangerous work out there. How can they be careful of the implicit bias that people are asking them to now consider without the constant second guessing that could lead to indecision, that could lead to many dangerous situations?
It is a great question. And recently, within the last month or so, several of us candidates had a law enforcement roundtable, and we asked that very question towards the end of the discussion. And that was this: because of the fact that law enforcement officers have been put on a pedestal and have under a microscope, if you will, why are their front and center, the light is shining on them, if you will, and why, what happens when they are in pursuit of a alleged criminal or a suspected criminal with criminal activity? Do they hesitate? And the answer was yes. Now they do. They haven't up until now, but because they're under this microscope, they have. And what they need to do, what we need to do, is to support these officers. The people that we have in Western Wisconsin, the 32nd District, our law enforcement officers have been well trained. The governor came out with, I don't know if it was an 8 or 9 point plan or that we should do. And in talking to our law enforcement here at that roundtable, they've already been doing this. They've implemented these procedures that they have to follow. That was done way before the governor came out with this. So they're doing the training that they need here in this part of the state. We don't have issues. So what we need to do is back these people. When you see an officer on the street, wherever, doing their job, give them a thumbs up. Tell them that we appreciate what they're doing, because each and every day they do put on their uniforms and they go out here and they risk their lives so that we can enjoy safety in our own homes. So that's really what we need to do. They're well-trained. They have the training. They have the tools here in this part of the state, and we just need to make sure that we're backing it. And my campaign has been endorsed by all of the sheriffs in the 32nd District because they understand that I'm going to be there for them. And I'm encouraging all of the people listening and beyond to back our law enforcement, because we don't have law and order in this part of the world. We have nothing. We have seen what happens in Minneapolis when the Democratic mayor of Minneapolis told law enforcement to stand down, when the Democratic governor of Minnesota told the National Guard that they weren't going to call them up for 3 days. We have seen up to 1,000 businesses ruined, people's lives, community ruined, because law and order was told to stand down. I have been told by our sheriffs in this district that they will never stand down if somebody's property or life is being endangered. And that should be very, very comforting to all the people here in the 32nd District and throughout Western Wisconsin.
According to a 2019 census.gov estimate, La Crosse County is about 91% white. Our surrounding area is you know, 89 to 91 or 2% white, a disparity that area minority populations are keenly aware of. Mr. Kopanky, this question goes to you first this time. If elected, what will you do to amplify and center the voices of Black, Indigenous, and people of color in your district?
It's very simple. Very, very simple. We all want to be treated alike. We all want to be treated when we go out there as we would treat people, and we should. And so, you know, again, we welcome everybody here in this county, in this district, in this state, to come to our areas. Come, bring your families. We have job openings. Again, employers that I've talked to, they're looking for good employees. And so let's open up our doors. Let's open up our arms and let's welcome everybody into the 32nd, into Western Wisconsin, into this great state of Wisconsin. We need you. We need qualified people that want to come in here and live and work and raise a family. And so what I would do is just keep pushing that forward. We need people, that message, and that is that we need people here. We don't care what color you are. We want people, that good people, Black, white, Caucasian, Asian. We don't care who you are. We want you to come in and settle in our community and be a neighbor. We want to be a neighbor to you as well. So that would be my message on this issue.
Mr. Paff, the same question to you. What would you do if you're elected to amplify and center the voices of Black, Indigenous, and people of color in the district?
Bring the community together. We need to stop dividing one another. We need to come together. I will build consensus. I am a consensus builder. I will be someone, as a leader, that will convene meetings to make sure that everybody has a seat at the table, that they're respected and they're heard. This is what is so extremely important, is that we bring people to the table. We don't exclude anybody. I have spent a lot of time speaking with law enforcement in this district as well, and I can tell you that we need to make sure that we continue to have community involvement in law enforcement. Our police chiefs that I've spoken with work hard to make sure that they have community involvement, and they're reaching all sectors of our cities and of our communities, and that's what we need to be able to do. We have to move beyond playing politics with this issue, doing scare tactics. Nobody wins with that. Let's come together and discuss how important it is that we as a Cooley region, stand united with one another, taking care of our neighbors, taking care of our community and our neighborhood. That's the kind of person I am, and that's the kind of state senator I will be.
That's Brad Paff, the Democratic candidate for the 32nd State Senate District. We're also talking today with Republican candidate Dan Kopanky. Thank you very much for both joining us. Our program will continue as our discussion goes on. We've got one more time out, and then we're going to wrap it up right after this. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. If you'd like more information about our program, you can find it on our website, which is wpr.org/newsmakers. If you want to take the show on the go, open your favorite podcast platform. We're on most of them. Search for Newsmakers and hit subscribe. Again, this is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwest Bureau. I've been so pleased to be joined today by the candidates for Wisconsin's 32nd State Senate District. We've been speaking with the Republican candidate, Dan Kopanky, and the Democratic candidate, Brad Paff. We've got just a few minutes left in the program, gentlemen, and I want to give each of you an opportunity to make your case directly to the voters. So we start with you, Mr. Paff. Why is it in a minute or so, why is it that you think the voters of the 32nd District should consider you?
Well, thank you, Ezra, for the opportunity to join you this morning, and thank you to all the listeners for listening in and participating, and I encourage you to vote on Tuesday, November 3rd. I'm running for the Wisconsin State Senate because I believe we can do better. Our politics right now is too divisive. It doesn't have to be like that. We can come together to solve the problems that we've got taking place here in this area, in this state. We can do that by listening more than we speak. We can do that by recognizing and respecting our neighbors and our friends. We may disagree with one another, but we don't have to be so disagreeable. My campaign for the Wisconsin State Senate is about hope. It's about optimism. It's about making sure that everyone gets a fair shot in this economy. It's about making sure that our children and grandchildren have opportunities to succeed. And it's about making sure that we keep our communities safe, strong, and growing. That's why I'm running for the Wisconsin State Senate. I've had the opportunity to meet many of you. I've had the opportunity to travel this district, to listen and to learn. And I always go back to what my parents taught me on the farm in which I was raised on. And that is this. Brad, you don't know where you're going unless you know where you're from. I know where I'm from. I'm from Northern La Crosse County. My wife and I have raised our two children here in the Onalaska area. We taught them the importance of hard work, dedication, and coming together. That's the kind of state senator I will be. I will be there for you. I will stand up to the special interest. I will make sure that the people of this district are always first. I respectfully request your vote on Tuesday, November 3rd. Thank you.
All right, and Mr. Kopanky, the same question to you. Why should voters choose Dan Kopanky in the election for the 32nd State Senate District?
Well, I've lived again in my life, my entire life here in the district, except when I was in the United States Marine Corps and the National Guard. I've worked in the private sector my entire life, including over 22 years working with farmers and agriculture. As town chairman in the town of Campbell, together with my town board, we spent 6 to 7 years working on a border agreement with the city of La Crosse because we were having a big dispute over annexations. I'm a business owner. I employ each year over 100 people in my business. People should vote for me because I'm a people person. I care about people. I care about this district. And I look forward to the service that I can provide these great people in the 32nd coming January of 2021. Thank you for the opportunity to be on this program today.
That's the Republican candidate, Dan Kopanky, and the Democratic candidate, Brad Paff, whom you heard from a second ago. And we've been speaking to both of them today on Newsmakers. Gentlemen, thank you very much for giving us your time today. And good luck on November the 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's Newsmakers. If you'd like to find out more about our show, if you'd like to stream this episode again on demand or listen to any of our previous political coverage before you go out to vote, cast your ballot by mail, you can do so at our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. My thanks today to producers Dawn Jewell and John Davis and the rest of the lacrosse team. Remember, there's several opportunities each week to listen to Newsmakers. The original broadcast, Friday morning at 10 o'clock on 90.3, the Ideas Network. Friday evening at 7 o'clock on WLSU, which is 88.9. And then also on WLSU for you early risers on Saturday, 5 a.m. on 88.9. If you'd like to take our show on the go, you can find our podcast in most podcast platforms. Just search for Newsmakers and hit subscribe. I'm Ezra Wall. Please join us again next time for another Newsmakers right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.